Hi, thanks for joining us for this message from Red Church in Melbourne, Australia. We pray that you are blessed by it. If you'd like to know more about Red Church and its ministries, or if you'd like to support us financially, you can find out more by heading to redchurch.org.au.
So excited with all that is happening in the life of our church at the moment. And you know what? It's really significant. It's actually a significant day today. March the 17th, happy St. Patrick's Day. Woo! St. Patrick is a bit of a spiritual hero of mine. I'm actually, both my parents were born in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So yeah, I'm technically fully Irish, but Australian born. So go St. Patrick. Mark spoke a couple of weeks ago about zeal, and St. Patrick had zeal. His zeal for the Lord. He was passionate about living in the presence of God. And Liddy put up a little promo on Insta of our week of prayer. And actually, Brian Heasley, the international director, sent her a message and said, significant, you guys are starting on St. Patrick's Day. And how wonderful it is to someone who modeled living in the presence of God, of seeking the face of God. And what zeal he brought to the land of Ireland. And then people were sent out in mission to the nations from that place of prayer and presence. That's beautiful and wonderful that we start our week of prayer, St. Patrick's Day, and we're actually ending on Palm Sunday as we head towards Easter. So happy St. Patrick's Day. So good to have you this morning, and welcome to our visitors this morning from the Czech Republic and Slovakia. It's so great to have you and just to hear a glimpse of what the Lord is doing in the nations at this time. I had two pregnancies, but we've got three biological children. So I'll let you do the maths. You will know that we had a daughter first, and then we had twin boys. Both very different pregnancies and different preparation required. When we found out we were having our first baby, we no doubt had some of the very common emotions that many have as you find out you're having a baby for the first time. I see a little newborn baby there in the second row. It's such a beautiful time of expectancy, of excitement and anticipation. Perhaps a little bit of, not quite sure, uncertainty what life's going to bring. But there's a wonder, a sense of, expectancy. And then when we found out we're having twins, that was a different set of emotions and expectancy. It was like dawns on you something big is about to happen. And I'll never forget, it's one of those moments you never forget when you find out. I mean, of course, when you find out you're having any baby, it's an excitement and it's a wonder. But then when you're finding out you're going to have two at once, I remember, luckily Mark was there when we found out, and we were in the doctor's office, the obstetrician's office, and she had like her ultrasound and, found two little heartbeats. And you just get a wave of all different types of emotions. It's like, oh my goodness, I have to carry two babies. So there's a little bit of fear in that, shock. I remember going, Mark. and he's sitting there calculating, okay, we need a bigger car. Is our house going to be big enough? we actually did put our house on the market and then took it off again. It was a bit of an adrenaline rush in that initial period. So a lot to think through. We had to get to work out the car configuration. We already had Grace, who was just over three, and you had to get the two little compact. How are you going to fit the two car seats side by side? Lots to think through. So there's all the kind of practical preparation of getting ready. And there were also very different pregnancies physically. By the end of the twin pregnancy, I carried them nearly virtually full term as far as you can physically go with twins for the safe kind of time frame. And Just in the last kind of 6 weeks, I was pretty much, sitting down, just resting. Just took a lot of toll physically. I remember just there was kind of towards the end, I made an attempt to go to a shopping centre. I think we made this effort. We went to like the local, shopping town. And I think we made it like one kind of short lap, and I'm like, I'm done. I've had enough. I could barely walk. And I just remember thinking, I'm not going to take for granted just walking normally ever again. So, very different pregnancies. But there's a beautiful thing that you have 9 months to get ready, to prepare for this change of life, the beautiful new creation that is coming, that is a child. Now today I want to talk about two pregnancies we find in Scripture, Elizabeth and Mary's pregnancies. Many of you be familiar with the infant narratives in the Gospel of Luke that we read at Christmas time. And, we probably read these passages a lot more than other passages in the Bible if we are a seasoned Christian and we, at the time of Easter, we sit in these passages. And as I read this passage last Christmas, last December, there was something that the Lord highlighted that I never particularly paid a lot of attention to. And it's this. It's significant that Mary and Elizabeth were both pregnant at the same time. Have you thought of that before? It's really significant. Both ends of the lifespan. We have someone so very young, pregnant, and someone in her twilight years, an old elderly woman, pregnant. That's significant. So I want to consider this passage today. And as we consider the passage, let's keep in mind the broader theme of pregnancy in Scripture as representing new creation. In Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit broods over the waters the moment before creation. God births new things through impossible circumstances." There is something both pregnancies had in common, and that is that both pregnancies were impossible without God. And Mary and Elizabeth's pregnancies speak to our current moment. God is at work. God is always at work. He's hovering over the creation. And he's hovering in our time. Do you perceive it? Do you perceive it? He's looking for people, the young and the old, willing to partner with his work of new creation. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. I think it's really important to read in the whole context of these infant narratives. It'll be on the screen if you'd like to follow along. Okay. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancies, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So there are some similarities to these women as they carry the new thing that God is doing. Both women, as we read, had faith and humility. Faith and humility are required to carry God's new creation. Mary demonstrated faith by asking, "How will this be?" This contrasted to the response that in the previous chapter, when we read about Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband's response, there was an element of doubt. He asked for a sign, whereas Mary's response was, okay, she believed. How is this going to happen? How will this come to pass? So she had faith. Mary was also humble. She recognized that she was a poor servant girl and was troubled why the angel would address her as highly favored. It wasn't so much fear. It was just like, why am I so highly favored? There was a humility to her. And Elizabeth, she was faithful in the waiting. She chose faith in the waiting and the barrenness. She had long-haul zeal in the wilderness. Both Elizabeth and Zechariah, we read, were upright in the sight of the Lord. And Elizabeth, in her waiting and longing for a child, would have experienced shame and disgrace from not being able to bear the child. So there was a humility upon her as she waited, longing to see God's goodness in her life. But Elizabeth's faithfulness and obedience in the waiting showed perseverance and built spiritual authority. Elizabeth recognized the importance of faith as she was faithful and had faith. She saw it and recognized it in Mary. Elizabeth said to Mary, as soon as she came in, she recognized Mary's faith. He said, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." The other similarities is that both pregnancies were actually very vulnerable and involved a posture of weakness and dependency. Mary, as a young, probably teenage girl, carrying a baby would have been a very different pregnancy to Elizabeth in her old age, carrying a baby in her elderly years. Imagine the toll, the physical toll on her body carrying a baby at her age. There would have been a danger to that. Huge risks. This story illustrates that the young and the old have different roles to play in God's new creation story. The Bible is full of stories of God using old people and young people. There's so many stories of, like, all the people will see his glory. And he uses, we see, like, Abraham and Sarah in their old age. We see David as a young shepherd boy, him using him. So God doesn't separate people to age. He chooses people according to their heart. You can have zeal in every season and generation. We read in Joel 2:28, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So just as there are some similarities in the posture of these women carrying these pregnancies, there are some key differences in the pregnancies that give us insight to the different roles of the young and old, the different roles and callings. You see, for Elizabeth, becoming pregnant in her old age, in the waiting, there's a unique joy that comes from the waiting. That's unique to Elizabeth's pregnancy. There's a unique joy that comes from a dry spell of waiting. Can you imagine the joy that she experienced as she found out that she was going to carry a child? The shame taken away. No longer would she be a woman from disgrace of not being able to bear a child. That was important in Elizabeth's time. Like, Elizabeth and Zechariah were priests. They're from the priestly line, and it would have looked as though God didn't show them favor because they couldn't have a child. So for her, there was a joy, a unique joy of finally being able to carry a child. Pregnancy gave Elizabeth renewed hope and joy and relief that the Lord had heard her prayers. There's something also unique about Elizabeth's pregnancy. It's really important to take note. Actually, the Lord highlighted this to me as I sat with this passage. Pregnancy for Elizabeth was carrying a child that she would not raise. I think that's a word for our time. Perhaps some people here may be travailing for the next generation. There's a hint of the Lord speaking to us in this passage. She was carrying a child that she would not raise. Carrying something beyond her time. She was faithful in her part of the story. And then there's Mary. Mary at a young age, pregnant. There was, for her being willing and obedient to carry the Son of God, a lowly, poor girl, humble girl, humble servant of the Lord. There was Mary with shame. It was dangerous. Perhaps it was isolating. She wouldn't have had a lot of support. She was misunderstood. There was just as much risk for Mary, but it was different. Can you see the differences in what these women were carrying? But this, not only does this story show that the young and the old have unique roles, it also shows a beautiful image of the young and the old mentoring one another and supporting one another in God's creation story. In this story, we just see such a beautiful example of mutual encouragement. I think that's the kind of key thing I notice, and possibly mentoring and support, as Mary actually stayed there for 3 whole months. Wouldn't you love to have been part of those, heard some of those conversations they had as they, I don't know whether they had cups of tea in those days, what they'd have, just chats and mentoring. You know, maybe Elizabeth was talking to Mary about how to have long-haul zeal, to keep going, to keep persevering, because she knew that. She'd grown authority in that, in the wilderness and the waiting. Mary and Elizabeth, we've been talking about pillars. Mary and Elizabeth were pillars for each other. Mary's pregnancy actually encouraged Elizabeth. There is something beautiful about Mary visiting Elizabeth's household that blessed the household and the ministry that would have become the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner, a prophet of the Most High. He went out to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so when Mary visits the house, Mary is actually carrying the presence of God. She is like the arch, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. She's carrying the presence. There's actually a really interesting story in the Old Testament about someone called Obed-Edom, and he held the Ark of the Covenant at his house for 3 months. It's interesting, isn't it? 3 months, same length of time that Mary was staying at the household of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And in this story of Obed-Edom, it actually says how the presence, the Ark staying at the house, blessed the entire household. There's something significant about Mary visiting Elizabeth that would have brought a tremendous blessing over the household. And John the Baptist, we see the encouragement and just the very encounter of Mary's greeting. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She began to prophesy and speak with revelation. I love the little imagery of John the Baptist leaped with joy. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. John the Baptist leapt with joy. I see Liddy's smile of face. We were having a little bit of fun this week looking at little images and artwork of Mary visiting Elizabeth. Perhaps we could have had it today, but like, there was this cute one of like actually, I don't know whether it was an older painting, perhaps from a couple of centuries ago. And there was an image of Jesus in the womb and John the Baptist. And John the Baptist just had this cutest little smile as he was leaping for joy. So it brought a smile to our face. So it was just leaping for joy, just in the presence of the Lord. When the Lord is here, there is joy. Everything the Holy Spirit touches turns to joy. So there was a blessing of and significance of Mary visiting and staying at the household of Elizabeth. And I'd also, there's something also of note. that Mary wasted no time of heading towards Elizabeth's household as soon as she knew that she was carrying the Son of God. And she heard that Elizabeth was also pregnant. She went straight to the household. It makes you wonder, do you think it was in her mind she recognized that as a safe place, a refuge, perhaps acknowledged that was going to be a place of support where she was holding this risky, perhaps shameful pregnancy, but she sought refuge in the household of Elizabeth and Zechariah. So both women were pillars for one another. Elizabeth encourages Mary through her prophetic revelation, encourages and affirms her faith. You know, when we encourage one another, I see that in you. I see that faith in you. That's a beautiful spiritual thing. We are strengthened. We have renewed hope. We can keep going. We can keep persevering, even when it's costly. When Elizabeth, I love also that Elizabeth gets really excited. It says, you've got to notice some of these little words. She says she exclaimed in a loud voice. I can get loud when I'm excited. I love it. Elizabeth exclaimed in a loud voice. I'd love to hear that as well. Like, how loud did Elizabeth get? If it's significant, it's written in the Bible, she must have been pretty loud. Excitement. But then her revelation then encouraged Mary even more. And we see Mary then burst out into song, known as Mary's song. Her praise, it just overflowed into praise. Can you see the mutual relationship going on? It's significant that these women were carrying the pregnancy together and they stayed together for 3 months. There's something significant about the old and the young supporting each other. We see a beautiful model of mentoring here, of mutual encouragement. So we see Elizabeth prophesying, speaking with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And just as Elizabeth received revelation, the Lord speaking, because the presence was in her midst, we too can hear revelation from the Holy Spirit. When we seek his presence, we're going to burst out in song. We're going to hear his voice. His voice, his spirit is ready, waiting for us to listen, to open up our ears. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us through this story. This story has resonance for our time. Mark said in his sermon a few weeks ago, God births new things in us through zeal. There's a vibe shift, he said, towards zeal. God is awakening things in us through his zeal. He's awakening our hearts towards zeal across the globe. In a moment where the secular story is becoming increasingly dark, we're seeing more and more young people, not just young and old, but particularly in the young people walking without hope. But what was really exciting is that Mark also said in his sermon, he said, there's actually another story happening on the street. You may not read about it in the news, but there's another story. There's another spiritual reality that's breaking out. There are young people actually becoming more spiritually hungry. I love that Andy said that something's happening in our youth. There's a desire more for his presence. I'm actually, I've been invited to speak to some young adults at a local church, a gathering this Tuesday night. Pray for me. You know why I've been invited? To speak on prayer. Because young people are actually hungry and want to learn how to pray. That is something new. I mean, in all our time of, I don't reckon in the last 20 years, we've kind of seen this hunger and this desire of young people wanting to pray. So come on, yeah, let's have a come on. Let's get behind and encourage the young people. Let's help them. Let's equip them. Let's train them. Let's mentor. And we need a new move of prayer among young people. We need them to be equipped and to go with zeal and run with courage in this generation. Yeah. Yeah. So I need your prayer. I'm excited. Something's happening. There's a vibe shift. Young people are spiritually hungry. They're fed up. They don't want to buy the narrative anymore, the worldly narrative. There's another story. There's a bigger creation story at play. Do you perceive it? There is a new thing happening. We also saw, we're aware of there's a Asbury, what happened at Asbury at the beginning of last year, of the Spirit of God just moving powerfully at Asbury Seminary College. Young people wanting to remain in the presence of God, not wanting to leave the temple. People coming and flocking, lining up to see what is this, what is going on. For days, it went on to days, just the continuous worship and praise. People being renewed, awakened to the love of God. And it's not just happening in Asbury. We're seeing reports of other things happening, moves of God, moving of the Spirit in universities, student campuses. God is on the move in our time. It's exciting. It's exciting. What was actually beautiful about the move of God that we heard about at Asbury and we're hearing about other places around the world, we've even experienced in our own church as we've gathered to simply seek His face, to pray for renewal, to pray for an outpouring of His Spirit. Something beautiful about a move of the Spirit that's happening at the moment that is actually gentle. There's a move of consecration, of holiness, hunger for the living God, a return to devotion. Platforms are being dismantled and Jesus is being put back on the center. May the Lord Jesus be exalted in our day. We need to stand up against the platforms. We need a move of God in young and old that will stand up to the platforms, stand up to the things that come against us. We need a move of His Spirit for strength, to proclaim His truth, and to proclaim that there is another story. There is another story on the street. There is another story in the spiritual realm that is going on, that is preparing and moving us towards heaven, heaven's realities. Heaven's realities are breaking out in our world. Do you perceive it? What if there really is a vibe shift and there's an invitation for you to come on? Let's get ready. What do we need to do to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts? God is looking for faithful and humble people to partner with. You know, there are young and old people joining this that we would not expect to carry the new thing God is doing. There are humble, hidden people that God is choosing and He's looking for. God is looking for people who are willing to count the cost. It's going to require risk and greater resilience to stand for righteousness and truth in our day. Young people are looking for moral clarity. Just as Mary needed support and guidance and a refuge, there's a need in this hour for spiritual mothers and fathers to rise up, to get desperate, to contend for the young people. To mentor the young, to have long-haul zeal. This is about the big, long-term walk in the continual walk of obedience, the long-term game. recently I was having lunch with someone and they actually had some tears in their eyes, I noticed. And it was actually their tears as they were recalling their father's tears. Their father, as he was hearing of what is happening in young people who are suddenly catching this zeal and this kind of fire of God, this desire for God, this new devotion, he said, "I've longed for this. We've waited and we've longed for this." That moved my heart. There are faithful people who've been praying for years for God to move. Bless them. Bless those people. They're forerunners. They're forerunners. They've sowed and they've sowed and they've prayed in the waiting and the barrenness and the dry and weary land, and may they see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's a unique joy that comes in the waiting and seeing that fulfilled and seeing the early signs of revival just should fuel you to keep going. And that would fill you with such praise that you want to sing it, get loud and go, "Amen, I can see it coming, what I've waited for and longed for so long. It's happening. Can you see it? Can you perceive it?" May we burst out in loud proclamation with praise and humility, just as Elizabeth did. Blessing the younger generation, championing and cheering them on in their calling and destiny. There's a place for the older generation to carry the new things that they may not live to fully see. What if actually you're travailing in prayer for the next generation? You know, David says this, he said, "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." David had a generational perspective. He recognized that he needs the presence of God to proclaim the power and the mighty acts to the next generation. "Do not depart me, God, till I've had a chance to tell the next generation." He knew the importance of continuation. This story has to be told. This story has to continue because it's a bigger story. It's a story that matters. It's a story that's eternal. We need a generational perspective. Praying for something beyond ourselves. I love the story of the Hebridean revival, precipitated by two elderly ladies with a heart to see young people come back to the church. They were desperate to see young people. They were burdened by the fact that there were not young people in the church. And they received this burden of prayer night after night after night. In the wee hours of the morning, they prayed, two elderly ladies. I think one was blind, virtually blind, praying for God to move. That was the thing that started a massive move of God. You're never too old to carry zeal, and you're never too young. I know others. I've got a friend, Sarah Brule, who has this burden of prayer. God has given her this burden of prayer to see a revival amongst students in Europe, and she started something called Revive Europe. And it's quite intriguing, her story of receiving this burden of prayer. She describes it like just feeling like she's pregnant. The Holy Spirit has given her this burden of prayer as though she is pregnant, and she has to keep praying to see this vision that God has given her, and she will not stop. She is faithful and fervent in prayer. It's a gift of the Lord. What if you are also called to be forerunners? What if what is happening? What if there really is a vibe shift? And God is spurring us on. We're seeing the first signs, but we need to continue to press in, continue to contend, continue for the amazing. There's more to come. We're just getting warmed up. Pregnancy is preparation. Pregnancy is preparation. Are we willing and ready to prepare our hearts? This is an invitation. This is for all people. This is what this story is reminding us. It's for all people. Such is the generation that seek his face. That's what it says in Psalm 24. What if something big is coming? Let's prepare our hearts for the King of Glory. I'd love to pray. God, I just thank you that we sense, we perceive your Spirit is moving. Your Spirit is moving in the nations. God, would we prepare our hearts to partner with you? I thank you that you choose all people to partner with you. You don't separate the young and the old, but Lord, we have some unique postings and posture that we can have in our different seasons of life. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, of what you're calling us to step in, to be willing. Would we be willing to be faithful, to be humble? We want to receive your Spirit in greater in power, Lord, to rise up, to take our place, to step into our calling. God, I pray for a bigger perspective of the new creation narrative you're writing in this time, Lord. So I pray that you open our eyes to greater spiritual realities, Lord, that we take our eyes, that we lift our gaze, Lord, to a bigger and higher perspective and calling. I just invite your Spirit to move now in our midst, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.